The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon, and I got an alligator in my throat. We're here at Taconic High School. We like to come out once a month for the students and for us ourselves and to show you your tax dollars at work, really and truly. This is a magnificent studio, great students. They are here. They don't have to be here at 6:30 in the morning. They are great teacher, Mr. Choquette, and today my guest, I got to be on my best behavior, is the executive director of Pittsfield Community Television and WTBR, Sean Sayers. Welcome, Sean.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks for having me. It's fun to be on the other side of the mic for a change.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I have the greatest, and let me get that out, the greatest respect and admiration. We'll talk about the growth. Since we left the old Taconic, and we'll talk about that in the future. But I give us a little bit of your background. What made you, your education, and what made you choose this career field?
You know, I was thinking about that the other day. You know, from the time I was about seven, I was not playing with normal toys. I was playing with tape recorders and microphones and turntables and things like that. And so I knew kind of early on that I liked that kind of stuff and I just wanted to pursue it. And it took me a little while to figure out that communications was the field that I wanted to be in.
Cool.
I didn't know exactly where I would end up, but that's kind of what I did. And, you know, I look around at the studio here at Taconic High School. Oh. And I just imagine if I had this in high school, what I would have done with it, or you know, the kinds of things that I would have learned, I would have been so far ahead of you know the kinds of things that I ended up learning and, and getting into to do the career that I did.
Yeah.
But this is just fantastic here. But that's kind of what inspired me early was just to know that I loved music. I loved recording things. I loved plugs and wires. It was definitely an odd thing for a kid to like.
Yeah.
But that's what I was into.
Well, I have to tell this story. When we moved from the old Taconic to Federico Drive, and it's one of my questions, and we'll get into it a little bit deeper further in the interview. But one day I got out and I said, "Where's Sean?" They said, "He's in the studio." So I went, I said, "No, he's not. I just was in there." And they, so one of the people, Sean, and from underneath, I looked down and there's two legs sticking out from underneath the console saying, "What?" It was Sean wiring up something under there. I said, "Be careful. You can get get electrocuted under there."
Yeah, the good news, I was still conscious.
Well, yeah, it was a unique place to take a nap. But, you know, what's your educational background? Mm-hmm. I find very impressive.
Well, I went to Syracuse University, and that was, you know, very attractive to me when I was in high school looking at various communication schools. I looked around at a few of them, and something about Syracuse just called to me. It must have been the 120 inches of snow that they get every year in the winter from the lake effect.
Florida had a great communication school.
Why didn't I think of that?
Yeah, or Arizona.
But no, it was a good school,
You
know, did a lot of cool things there, met a lot of good people. There's some folks from my class in Syracuse that went on to do pretty notable things. Mike Tirico, for example, was in my class.
Wow.
Jennifer Ludden from NPR, I took a class with her. So it was kind of, you know, you're around people who are going to go somewhere and do something. It was quite the organization. But I actually went there with the thought that maybe I would get into music recording and producing. That was kind of my first love, and when I got out of Syracuse and started looking around for jobs, for whatever reason, I was attracted more to video and to television, and that's kind of where you know where I wanted to go at that point. But I still have kind of a love for music recording and sure. for sound and microphones and things like that. Never really left.
But then you came and you graduated and you came to work. When did you join PCTV? You've been there a while. I mean, Walter Cronkite was still on when you joined.
So. Yeah, it's true, actually. I know. As a matter of fact, no, not quite. He was already gone. But when I got out of Syracuse, I was getting my resumes out to various different places. Cool. And as sort of a temporary stopover, I said, well, I'll keep my skills sharp. And I just read in the newspaper recently that there was a new place starting up, Pittsfield Community TV, and this was at the end of 1988. So I was still really a pretty, yeah. you know, newly minted college graduate. And so I went in, and it was one of these things where it had not really started yet.
Right.
I walked in, and it was actually the offices of Warner Cable at the time,
yeah.
not even Time Warner
Fourth
Cable,
Street.
On 4th Street, and yeah. I met the new executive director. His name is Garrett McCary, and he had just been hired maybe 3 weeks before as the executive director of PCTV,
cool.
and this organization was brand new. It had just started, just gotten its board of directors, and they had just hired their first executive director.
Cool.
So I don't think he had gotten a lot of inquiries yet about volunteers, about people wanting, and we had no studio because, again, he was working yeah. out of the back office of Warner Cable at the time. All of the equipment that had been ordered by a former executive director now, so it was our second executive director, Bernie Avalli. He was on the original board of directors there, and he had ordered all the equipment, about $75,000 worth of equipment
wow.
at the time in the late yeah. 80s. And the thing that they did was they produced the 4th of July parade in 1988 for the first time. They took all the equipment out of the boxes. They produced the parade. They put all the equipment back in the cardboard boxes, and they stored them in the basement of the library. And when I first met Garrett, that's where all the PCTV equipment was,
wow.
stored in boxes in the basement of the library. And I hadn't met Bernie at that point. There was really nobody else to meet other than there was a board
yeah.
of directors, Dan Dillon,
yeah.
Ed Riley, people
yeah.
like that. Those were the folks
yeah.
that were involved at the time. And so I just kind of hung around. I was a volunteer. I was out of college and not working. I was DJing to support myself. That's
yeah.
What I did early on. And so I kind of grew up with the organization. As we found a place to build a studio, I was there to help put the studio together.
Oh, cool.
And when we were creating new policies and new rules and finding, you know, getting new programming in the door and helping them to create programming, training new people, that was a lot of my early work
cool.
There. So it was fun. And I found myself at the time, you know, in a new role because I had just graduated college. So I was in the process of learning
right.
all the stuff that was necessary to make television or to record things
yeah.
or whatever. And suddenly I'm flip-flopped and I'm teaching people now how to do this stuff. And it felt like a very odd role, you know, to be
yeah.
in at that moment. But it
well,
was something I got used to.
I think it made you what you are today because you're still a great manager, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And you're still teaching people and training people as we get new people. People come, people go, and in a minute we'll talk about how this PCTV nugget has grown into this massive, I guess production house would be a fair say, because it was basically before just cable.
Mm-hmm.
And I would ask the people, would you call up Spectrum and tell them to put us back on channel 13, 14, and 15? Because they got us up there at 1301, 13. There's still people who don't know we're still on the air.
Yeah, that's been a real problem, actually, is
yes.
That people, once those channels moved, which was out of our control, of course,
right.
We would have loved to have stayed down in the lower tier of channels. That people would tell us, well, I'm sorry that we don't get your channel anymore.
Right.
And we would have to ask, well, do you get cable? Oh,
yeah,
we get cable. Well, then you get our channels. Are you sure? Because I can't find them.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's their way up there. And the other problem right now is that if they're using some of the newer technology that Spectrum provides, like the app or the Zumo box, you know, sort of the new technology they use. So far, they have not put the PCTV channels on those services, and we're fighting to get those back and included there so people can see them. Because they, if they're already paying for cable, they actually should be able to watch those channels.
Yeah, because there's so many repetitive channels on it that you're – why am I paying for this twice situation? But if you'd like to help us, call your Spectrum people and tell them get us back down 13, 14, and 15 because we do provide a great service to the community. Some history. They were going to surrender this license back to the FCC. With Sean and his help and Peter Marchetti and Mayor Tyer and Kathy Yan and the then school committee, Bill Cameron, Dr. Cameron, and the Elias, Dan Elias, and the school committee and the city council, they opted to keep it. And we thought, we'll be off the air a couple weeks. And that's what we announced. Mm-hmm. We're going to be off the air for a couple weeks while we move. Well, a couple weeks. Sean and I were very naive, I think, in the move. Let's just say that.
Yeah, it's complicated moving a radio station, for sure. You know, it's not as easy even as moving a TV station. I feel like if we had to move PCTV, it would be probably easier in some respects than moving a radio station. And we've only learned that after the fact. But and I think, you know, again, optimism, naivete, maybe. You know, we learned a few things along the way. But the idea was that the WTBR had been housed in Taconic High School for 35, almost 40 years at that point in 2018. The antenna, the tower was built into the old building and it was right there. So in order to move something like that, first of all, you have to know where you're going to move it to.
Right.
And that's not all that easy because you have to find a location. And, you know, the towers these days are owned by these large companies, essentially, that charge many, many thousands of dollars per month in order to put your antennas on their towers. And of course, that was never going to work for a community radio station. We just on a much smaller budget than that. So we had to find a good location. And then you have to do all the engineering part of it. You have to find someone who could climb a tower, and you know, you have to buy the antennas. You had to know what model antenna and transmitter you needed because you needed something completely new. Even you couldn't just move the one we had here at Taconic. It all had to be something new because it was going to a new location. It needed a new power configuration. It needed more power than it had here. You know, that those types of things. So all those things kind of figured in, and we were working, you know, like ducks on the top of the water, but we're paddling a lot of on the bottom. And those 6 months between the time that the station was off and the time that it came back, there was just not one moment where we weren't doing something, whether we were either moving all the equipment and the 20,000 records from the old Taconic before the building was knocked down, which was only a month or two later after we cleared all that out of there. But then we were also, you know, furiously configuring a new studio down at our place. We reconfigured an old office space. And anybody who's been down to PCTV, WTBR, FM, and actually if anyone would like to come down and take a look at our space, we're always glad to give people tours of that to show them around and show them, you know, what it takes to put a radio station and a TV station on the air. Always welcoming for that. But all those things were sort of coming together. And then finally, in December of 2018, January of 2019, right around that time, bang, we're back on the air. And, you know, amazingly, we had so many people, Bill, you probably heard the same thing. When are you coming back on the air?
Oh, I know.
You know, oh, we can't wait to hear you.
You're only going to be off the air a couple weeks. I said, I didn't know what I was talking about. I mean, I owned up to it.
We had the web stream on. And a lot of people listen to it on the web stream. But it's not quite the same as having it in your car and having it as preset number one. And you turn on the car and there's WTBR-FM and you're listening to it. And that's, you know, I think people definitely get used to that and make it a regular habit in their life, and we're really happy that they do.
And more we're hearing from people. Sean and I, my wife, the Polish princess, there will be out and say, "You're the guy that's on TV," and they recognize my hairstyle. So, but seriously, when COVID hit, I think is when we made our bones, as they used to say. We didn't miss a lick. Morning Drive was on every morning. They came and we got this configuration. I have a studio in the basement of my home, and I Zoom it, and they get it and they put it up, and then the mayor would come on every Friday with Gene Armstrong, who was the director of public health at the time, just drew a blank. But he would come on. He was I really think people started watching for that information.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that was a trying time for everybody, and it's amazing how many people have just wanted to put that away, you know, not think about it. It was a tough time.
And very difficult.
Big, you know, uncertainty, not knowing what's coming next and how big a disruption it's going to be in everyone's lives. And I think it's always going to be a marker for most people for, you know, what happened during that time. But certainly we looked at it and we're like, okay, well, you know, there was this talk about, are you an essential service? You know, are you an essential worker of some kind? And we had to make the case at the time to the state to say, you know, whatever kind of passes you need to let people get out and get to work, we got to have one of those because we've got to stay on the air. People need to know what's going on. We need to provide this kind of information if it's out there. And a lot of times that information was only available in the eastern part of the state.
Exactly.
So we really tried to bring that west. You know, we really tried to bring the governor's press conferences. He had
Congressman
those every day for a while.
Yeah.
Charlie Baker. And so, you know, a lot of times they were freely available in Boston and Worcester and the Cape and places, but they weren't here. So we tried to bring those on PCTV and, you know, we kept the Morning Drive program going.
Yeah.
As you said, you adapted, and that was really the time. Before that, you were coming into the studio 5 days a week at that time. And so moving it to Zoom and being able to interview people, that kind of gave us some flexibility that we didn't know we had before. I mean, you could always do a telephone interview with someone on the radio, but nobody had ever really considered using this newer telecommunications software that was free or, you know, very low cost to everybody. Suddenly you can turn that and say, no, we can keep a regular morning information program going. And that was what we did there.
And we have to, this guy should be enshrined somewhere. Anthony LaPora, who is our attorney and has – he knows the FCC. If you think filing your taxes is hard, you should deal with the FCC. Right, Sean?
That's absolutely
Sean
true.
And Anthony did it. I just watched them.
No, it's all Anthony. And I'll tell you, that was another whole dimension of what it takes to do anything to a radio station. I mean, you know, always have to comply with whatever the FCC requires you to do. For example, our station, we have a requirement where we have to do a report once a quarter, every 3 months, called an Issues and Programs Report. Every station has to do it. We have kind of an easier job of doing it because we do a lot more public service programming than a lot of radio stations do. If you ever hear the public service program that a radio station might run at 6 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday, they do that specifically so that they'll have something to put in that report.
Yeah.
And we don't really have to go out of our way to do it. We do programs all the time that serve the public. And so it's very easy to fill up 6 or 7 pages worth of a report to say, these are the things we did in the last quarter that served the public interest. So, but that's one of those things the FCC requires you to do, ownership reports. And relicensing, you know, you don't just get a license and have it forever. You have to reapply and get your license renewed once every 10 years or 8 years. I think it's 8 years. So that's always a process that has to go through. And without Anthony and without his expertise, you know, we'd really be in the dark on a lot of that stuff. So definitely kudos to him. And every community radio station out there needs that kind of guidance. You know, you can't know everything about everything. You'd love to think you could, but you just have to realize that there's so much more to learn, and then just keep learning. You know, keep saying, okay, I didn't know that, but now I know. I'm going to move forward.
Right.
I'm going to do that next time. It's just there's always something like that to do.
And there's much more, many more regulations on the TBR side than on the PCTV side.
Definitely. I mean, there's big differences between the two things that we do, right? Not to mention that one is television and one is radio.
Right.
Okay, so very baseline. But public access television is something, especially the public side of that, is generally known as a First Amendment platform, right? So it exists so that people from the area can come and use the equipment, facilities, airtime that we have to create their own programming and put that on the air to share with their neighbors. That's essentially the base of what we do for public access, which also means you can get some very controversial content because we're not in charge of the content. The people who produce the programs, the volunteers that come in to do it, they own their own content. And there's a very wide latitude of the kinds of things they can do and say on a public access channel. And so that's why, you know, other than maybe if there's really controversial or, you know, colorful language, let's say, things like that, it's not something that we would turn away. We would just maybe schedule it at a different time so that it's outside of the children's viewing time, you know, things like that. But people basically have a right to, if they follow the rules, to have programming of whatever content on the air on a public access channel. The other two parts of that are education and government. That's why it's called PEG Access, Public Education and Government. The education side is actually for giving groups like this, Taconic High School and BCC and other schools in the school committee, places like that, an outlet to have television coverage and to have television airtime where they can broadcast things for the education community. So that channel and that programming is really reserved for that group. And then the government side is where you see all of the municipal meetings, the city council, the committees and commissions, everything from your state representative or your state senator, anything like that is all contained on the government side. A lot of that, PCTV's own staff does the production for a lot of the for the programs that are there. So that's the nature of PEG access television. Now, on the radio side, you're dealing with a federally licensed, FCC-licensed broadcast channel. And that means that there are regulations that you have to follow. For instance, you know, the language isn't quite can't flow quite as easily.
It's not as colorful.
No, and everyone knows the Janet Jackson Super Bowl rule, right? When you when you have something that happens on broadcast TV that you're not in full control of, you will pay fines or you will lose licenses. And they do have ultimate control over something like that. So it's something that you do have to manage a little bit differently. And so for the radio station, we have a couple of boards, and one of them is the programming committee. This is a group of volunteers that are not paid, and they sort of interface with people who are proposing new radio shows. And so those folks, they come up with an idea. I'd like to pitch you an idea of doing a two-hour, you know, jazz program. Okay, well, tell us some more about that. And some four or five people, they'll sit down with them. They'll say, what kind of music, you know, would you like to play? And what did you have in mind? Did you want to do interviews? Do you want to just play music? You know, and if they approve it, which is, you know, usually a low bar, but they can tell if someone has a good idea of what it is that they want to accomplish. Then they go through a training, and there's training for the technical side of it and working the board and working the equipment. And there's also an FCC training, the kinds of things that you need to know in order to have the show on the air to make sure that you're not running afoul of the regulations that we all have to follow to keep the radio station running. So there's and then you do a mock program. So you sort of demonstrate your proficiency, your skills. And then once we're satisfied that you can do that, you have your show and you're on the air. So it's really kind of a different process.
Different process. And before we go to break, I'd like you to share the mission and goal statement, and then we'll go to break and talk when we come back about the growth. It's like I said, it's gone from a little acorn now to a big old tree.
Well, so I'll read our mission. Our mission at PCTV and WTBR-FM, empower our community to create media and amplify diverse voices through the best technology and wide-reaching platforms. Lots of good words there, but you can kind of get an idea of where we're going. And the vision for the station is that everyone in our area should have access to shared media experiences which inform, educate, engage, and entertain, foster civic and community engagement, and promote transparency in local government. I think we live up to those on a daily basis. It's really our guiding star, if you will. You know, we go back to that vision and mission, and we say, are we really accomplishing this? Is this what we're doing every day to make sure that our community is informed, that they have access to you know, this technology and this programming that we can bring them? And that's what we try to do.
And as far as this program, I have always tried to make it very eclectic. I have politicians, I have artists, I have actors, I have directors, I have authors, I have local politicians and state politicians and educational people. And it's kind of the width and breadth of the community. I always wanted to do a program where we could be free-flowing and bring people in that are interesting. And you know, I have the fire chief on. Sean just had him on.
Yeah.
I try to have him on in the seasons because every season, with my father was a fireman for 38 years, so firefighter. Every season has its own issues with safety. He was on at Christmas and bus bars and Board of Health and people like that. It's very important for the public to do that. The senior center, Jim Clark, when he was the director, now he's back to being veteran service agent. But it's local.
That's really the key, isn't it?
And yeah.
If you weren't doing those programs, and I feel honored to be able to fill in and do the ones that I do as well, you know, those are the kind of things that you're not going to get anywhere else. If we're not doing it, or an organization like ours is not doing it, where are you going to get interviews like that with local people? It's just it's not profitable for bigger organizations, especially, you know, the ones from outside the area. And even though we're in the Albany television market, and of course that causes a lot of problems as well, that we're not, you know, that there isn't a Berkshire County or a Pittsfield market, you know, that we lose touch with the real people that are doing things on the ground here, our own elected officials locally and statewide, the fire chief, the police chief, the district attorney, you know, people who, you know, you might see a blurb in the newspaper if you're paying attention, but to watch them or listen to them in an interview for a full hour long makes a huge difference. And, you know, just from a personal standpoint also, I got to tell you, I really enjoy interviewing people because I learn so much just sitting in that chair. And I start out with maybe scrawled out, you know, a handful of five or six questions that I think might guide me through the interview. And I go back to those once in a while. But I find that just having a conversation with somebody where whatever it is that they just said, I'll say, well, that's interesting. Let's explore that a little bit more. And then we go down a completely different path than what I had written down.
Yeah.
And I realize, oh, I got to get to these things. I still want to talk about these things. Yeah. And the show's almost over. So it's really fascinating to sort of talk to people and keep them sort of – it keeps me in the loop more about what's going on in town. And I'm hoping that while I'm doing that, someone else is listening is getting the sort of same benefit that I'm getting.
And to me I've been all over the world, lived all over the world, but this was home. Pittsfield is a very dynamic place, and I didn't think it was getting the attention it should on, like, the local New York station. They might have a report, even Spectrum. We'll have somebody here to cover the mayor greeting, you know, Santa Claus or something, but that's it. I thought there's more to Pittsfield that I want, and a lot of people, and this I've told this story 1,000 times. So, but one time when I did a talk show, which that's a whole other program, don't think twice before you do that.
You mean a call-in program?
Yeah,
right?
Call-in. Yeah. Call-in. A lady called up, she said, "I'm a senior citizen. I'm a shut-in. My kids don't live close by, and." I used to do 3 hours a day, which was, I don't know how I did it, but I listen to your program because it's my connection with the outside world. And I never forgot that. I never forgot that there are people who are watching or listening to this program that we may be their contact for the day, their socialization, whatever. And I take it very seriously. And I encourage all these young students who got here very early this morning to really stay with it and be proud of what you're doing and be honest. We're going to be going to break here. I do want to thank, again, Mr. Choquette, the administration of the Pittsfield School System, Mr. Curtis and Mr. Bishop and the principal here and all the people who make it so easy for us to come and do this. And I want to thank Sean for getting – Sean's not what one would say a morning person. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
Missed an episode of your favorite show? Have no fear, because we have podcasts. Type in WTBRFM.com/podcast on your favorite browser and search for your favorite show. It's that simple.
PCTV Select is now available on so many platforms. You can get it with any device you have available, all free to download and use. If you're watching at home, use your Roku, Amazon, Fire TV, or Apple TV device, or even your computer, and see programming in full HD quality. Watching on the go? Download PCTV Select from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store for your smartphone. It's that easy and free. PCTV Select is everywhere you need to be.
Pittsfield residents, have you heard about Code Red? It's the city's emergency alert program, and it keeps you informed on the latest updates and notifications, including but not limited to weather-related emergencies, road closures, and water main breaks. So stay connected and be informed. Text Pittsfield to 99411 to enroll or visit cityofpittsfield.org to sign up.
Hi, it's Jen Glockner. I'm the director of the Office of Cultural Development for the wonderful city of Pittsfield, and I also host the Cultural Pittsfield radio show on WTBR. It airs every Friday at 8:30 in the morning. Stay tuned to learn all about the arts and culture scene for the city of Pittsfield and beyond. We hope you listen in every Friday at 8:30 on 89.7 FM WTBR.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
We're back. Yes, I'm here with Sean Sears. He's my direct supervisor. When I first met him, he had long, curly hair. I don't know what being my direct supervisor is. We're here today. I'm so honored to have Sean. And I'm going to embarrass him through this half hour, but that's okay. He, there's been so much growth, and I guess some of it was we were lucky or we were at the right place at the right time. All the people who preceded Sean in the directorship, I can't say enough about them, because they took an idea and they made it real, and they made it happen every single day.
Yep.
And that's difficult. And the other thing, and I'm going to throw to Sean, We are now in Southern Berkshire. Now, that wasn't an easy road to hoe either, but we're doing well down there.
Yeah, we're really happy. In December, we launched WSBR, which is on 88.1 in Lee, and it can be heard in Lee, Lenox, Stockbridge, and all the surrounding areas to those towns. So we're really happy to have added that and expanded the reach of WTBR's community radio station here. So it's the same signal when you're listening down there. You're hearing up here in Pittsfield. You can easily transition between the two if you're heading South County and you lose the station heading down into Lenox and Lee. You can now switch over to 88.1 and continue to pick it up down there. We're really happy that that's going on. And we're still in the process of making that a permanent installation right now. It's a temporary installation that people probably won't hear too much of a difference when the final one goes in. But that was, again, a three-year process. These are things that happen, you know, behind the scenes. Don't always know that things are going on. Yeah. And the FCC is involved, so it's a very long process in a lot of ways. And there were just a lot of sort of building blocks, if you will, to put together to make sure that that could happen. There was no guarantee that any of that was going to happen. When we first applied for it, there was a rare window that the FCC opened up to say, you know, people, organizations like nonprofit organizations like PCTV could apply for new frequencies, but it was all up to us to decide and to define, well, what frequency would we be on and where would that be and what area would that cover? And then you have to look at the existing map of all the FM stations in the area, and you have to carve out a little area to say, well, I guess we can fill this hole on this frequency in this area. And that's what we went through. So we went through that. It was a long process, and we finally decided on that particular one. And then there was the process of then finding a way to build a new transmitter and antenna in a place and how that all works out, all the arrangements and technical and legal and everything else. So that was a long process, and we had no guarantee that we had a three-year window to do it, after which time, if you don't build and turn on a station in 3 years under a construction permit that the FCC gives you, you never get to try again. You get one shot at it. And so that was like a do-or-die situation, and we got through it, and we started broadcasting.
A lot of I's to dot and a lot of T's to cross. And, again, Anthony Lepore, thank you. But the other thing, too, is we're on a variety. If tell us Fire Stick and all that. We're just on a variety. There is a variety of ways to tune into us.
Well, and, you know, I go back to our earlier conversation about the early days of PCTV and what it felt like to have all that equipment in the cardboard boxes and not wired up or hooked up, or nobody really knew how to make it work. How did you interconnect these things? How did you get the cameras to work? And, you know, we got through all of that, and we were on one channel for a long time.
That's
a
very long time.
You know, channel – when I started there, it was channel 20. Previous to me being there, it was Channel 2.
Right.
A lot of people remember Channel 2 in Pittsfield, so it was we were after that. And then it changed. This tells you how the cable companies have always changed it. Changed from Channel 20 to Channel 5 to Channel 3 to Channel 9, and then finally up to 16, 17, and 18 where it stayed. So you can tell there was a difference between going from one channel to three channels. And that was in the year 2000 when we added the education and the government channels. Before that, if you tuned into PCTV, you might see a school committee meeting one night. You might see a studio program the next night and a city council meeting. Guy in a bathtub. Certainly possible. You could see Peter Arlos. You know, you could see all the early things, right? But at some point, we were able to expand to those three channels. That was a big, major improvement that we made. And then that stayed that way right up until the time that we took over the operation and management of WTBR. We had never been on another platform broadcasting until that time. And suddenly it's like, okay, now we are doing this on radio and we're doing this on TV, and there's some synergies there. There's some things you can do, you know, together, like we're doing this morning, for example, having a radio program in the morning that's also simulcast on a cable TV channel. Then during COVID, it was kind of in the works already, but we were starting to think about providing a really dependable live stream and video on demand service to the residents and people beyond the Pittsfield area. And we were in the works of doing it. And we kind of, once COVID hit, we accelerated that process because we realized that people needed to get access to this information, you know, in a timely manner and in platforms where maybe they didn't have cable TV, for example, or, you know, whatever. So we launched PCTV Select. And that is the ability for people to go on and see if there's a live program on a particular day or night. If there are two different live programs on, we have two different live streams. So there could be two live shows simultaneously on. You get to pick one or the other. It might be a live basketball game on one channel, and it might be a live city council meeting on the other channel. And again, that's us doing all of those things. And then there's a new website that we launched a couple of years ago, which really kind of showed off the capabilities of that those live streams and the video on demand that we have. We have, you know, over 20 years worth, to probably closer to 25 years worth now of programming that has been preserved and digitized and saved and put up on the website, searchable, and then people can watch it on their computer, for example. But they can also download a free app for the Roku, for the Fire TV stick. For the Apple TV. So those are all devices that you would connect to your larger format TV in your living room, something like that, and watch any of those video on demands or the live streams. And then, of course, you know, on this, which everybody carries around, either on the Android or the iOS, there's a free app for PCTV Select also. That's all you have to do is go to those stores and search for PCTV Select. It should come up there and just download it, and you'll have access to that, you know, right on your device that you carry around with you everywhere.
And again, I used the analogy before the break of when we first started, we were a little acorn, and now all of a sudden we're like a huge, and we're still growing. I would encourage people, and also in credit to Sean and the team, because it is a team. The one thing that I always give credit for, and they get kind of embarrassed and sometimes get angry at me, hard to believe. They're all geniuses over there. I mean, what they do with everything is just really an amazing. But this, what you see now is going to continue to grow under this leadership.
Well, I'm really fortunate to work with such great people, too. And I think of that every single day.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of people that dread when they wake up in the morning. What are they going to find when they go into work? And I think most of us look forward to what we do when we go in. We know we're going to do something interesting and fun and great for the community. And it's just a really good, positive place to work. So I think everybody enjoys, you know, having all those different skill sets that the employees have here at PCTV and WTBR. And then also working with some great people from the community who are volunteering their time. You know, they're not getting paid for this. You're not getting paid for this today. You know, and it's that kind of dedication that keeps us going to say that, hey, we've got 34 different programs on WTBR-FM that are all community-driven shows. And most of those people are putting in the work every single week to create a new program that airs in their time slot. That's just real tremendous dedication.
Well, I have to do this because March is right around the corner. I have to take my hat off to Hunter and to Kevin Cahill, who do the Irish show every Sunday. They've been doing it for a very long time. But I also, where I was going before too, the team, we I think, correct me if I'm wrong, we're probably the only local radio TV station that has a 100% Spanish-speaking program.
Yeah, that might be true, actually. I don't know for sure, but I think so.
Yeah, and we consider that a star in our cap because it's a wonderful program.
Yeah, it's fun to listen to.
It is, and it really is. That's the proper way. It's fun to listen to.
And a lot of our shows are. And, you know, it's a variety kind of a format. Most of the time in between people's individual productions. We have our rock and roll and all rock format, which runs, and a lot of people enjoy that as well. And then the specific programs come on, and it could be anything from Irish music to polka to Spanish language to oldies and heavy metal and jazz. You know, there's all kinds of different – there's many talk shows as well.
Yeah.
Cultural Pittsfield, for example, Backstory, the Stuff program. Just, you know, that's humor. You know, there's a sports program, Bird's Eye View, from the folks from the Eagle that do that show. It's just a really good variety of shows.
Yeah, and we're still growing. And like Sean had mentioned in the first half, I'd like to pick up on it if I can. If you're interested, get a call out there, talk with whoever answers the phone, or call for Sean, and then he'll point you in the right direction. If you're interested, think about it. But here's my caution. It's a commitment. And I Bob Burke, who was on this station, not this station, not the Conic, but PCTV for years, and other stations, told me years ago, two things you have to be. You have to have good content. You have to be consistent. So when they turn that radio dial on at noon, they better hear your voice, or 7:30 in the morning, or they keep turning.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely true, right? So local radio is filling a need that kind of goes full circle if you think about it. Is that all broadcasting at one point was more local than it is now, and then I think big corporations got involved and they started buying up all the little stations. And then they started letting all the local people go, and they would program all the things remotely from some place in St. Louis or Arizona or New York. You know, and there was less and less local connection in those broadcasters.
Exactly.
And I think community radio and community television fill those roles in ways that we didn't know that we needed. But that's why there's a big upsurge in the types of radio stations that we're running at WTBR. And the other radio stations actually are struggling in a lot of ways. Now, I don't know about locally, but nationwide, there are many, many stations, especially the AM stations. Kind of sad to see a lot of those go. A lot of people don't listen as much to AM radio as they used to, understandably in some ways. So a lot of those stations are disappearing. But even some of the bigger commercial FM radio stations that used to be the mainstays of people's entertainment, those have either gone away or they've been bought up by religious broadcasters, very specific. So, you know, a lot of changes in the radio industry, but one of the things that still rings true for people is the local content, and I think you're absolutely right about that, that's what people need and want from their local broadcaster.
And I have to take our hat off to the Eagle. Kevin Moran and the judge, I call him, Fred Rutberg, and the people who bought that, because I interviewed them when they first bought it, purchased it. And they said they're going to bring it home. It was going to be a Pittsfield, Berkshire County newspaper. And they are. Take hats off. I mean, do I agree with everything in the editorial page? No, but I still read it. That's the important part. It's local. It's interesting. And I think what Howard Herman, who's on a lot with you guys, what he's done with the sports page is amazing. And I've always admired Howard and how he covers sports. And so I guess what I'm trying to make, and they just had a big event. They, 10,000 subscriptions or something.
Is that right? Well, and it's so easy to have something called a news desert.
Right.
And we don't want to turn into that here. We don't want to have this area be a place where we're struggling to find what's actually happening around. And that is so easy to slip into that. So, you know, hats off definitely to the Eagle and anyone.
Oh, yeah.
I think of iBerkshires as well. Someone who's doing real journalism.
Love iBerkshires.
You know, in the Berkshires and keeping that flow of information going and having some sort of independent press is very, very important. Otherwise, all you're doing is living off of press releases from the government. And, you know, that's not sufficient. It's just not.
Could not be factual. Who said that? There goes the license. But anyhow, I wanted to bring that out. And if
the opinions of the guests on this show.
You know, oh yeah, the views and opinions on the show are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, Pittsfield School Committee, Mayor Marchetti in the mayor's office, Peter White in the city council, and the person who finally got the availability to ride their bike on the street now that there's no ice or snow. But
just watch out for the potholes.
Oh, God. Yeah. What's your vision for the future for broadcasting? They need to hear that, yeah. These kiddos.
You know, it's always evolving. It's always changing.
Yeah.
The stuff that I learned when I was in college, some of it has stayed with me and some of it is still relevant today.
Yeah.
And some of it is ancient and needs to be tossed away.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's probably true of every career these days. There's no one career that you go, not even the trades. You know, nowhere do you go and just learn one thing and then use it for 40 years and retire. It just doesn't happen anymore. So stay up with the current trends. Know what it is that your audience needs and wants from you. I think those are really important things.
Yeah.
Stay up on technology because that's going to pass you by really quickly. And if you don't stay in it, You got to, you know, you got to know what people are needing and using for that. And, you know, and that can be fun, too. So, you know, do a little of that. But don't feel that just because there's something new that you're not familiar with it, you're not ever going to use it. You're just going to keep doing what you always do. You can't do that. You got to keep moving forward. So, you know, the change. We're here on a one-hour radio and TV program where people's attention spans now are south of 30 seconds or 3 minutes tops. You know, if you're watching something that's 3 minutes, that's a long-form video.
If it's on my screen, I know it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so there's things like that that you have to pay attention to and keep up on. But then, you know, there's also, I think about the support that's needed for productions and for organizations like ours. And that's something that I've tried to keep my eye on since I've been in the seat that I sit in, is that you can't also sit back and just hope that things will continue as they have for funding. And as we know, cable TV is changing and a very big chunk of what we have to make this kind of stuff possible comes from cable revenues.
Right.
And what are people doing with cable?
Cutting the cable.
Cutting the cord, right? But at some point, that will come back to kick all of us because it'll be difficult to continue to run this kind of programming without that support. So what do? We have things like the Eats a Pizza event, which is coming up in May. We hope everybody comes out to Berkshire Hills Country Club. I think it's on the 15th of May. I'll throw that out there right now. Big, nice fundraiser for PCTV. We do the Radiothon in November for WTBR-FM. Brings in a few dollars for that. Keeps the lights on. Keeps us being able to pay those little fees that keep the broadcast going. Underwriting for the channel, very, very important that we have corporate support for this. So it's all those different pieces and parts of the puzzle that keep this moving. And there won't be one single source anymore to make that happen. There will be just a lot of different ways. And you're always sort of out there hustling and making sure that you can keep the engine running, if you will. So that's going to be very important.
And you know, too, the AI and all of this stuff, and I have to just take one moment. I because I don't have a life, I watch most of the school committee meetings and subcommittee meetings and the city council meetings, subcommittee meetings. The gentleman that came and talked about tooling your education programming, course content, to jobs that won't be affected by AI.
Yeah.
I'm going to reach out and have him try to get him through the superintendent. But I want to thank the superintendent and all the people in the headquarters and teachers and principals and administrators and the school committee for having that vision. You can sit there and say, oh, that's 2 years, 5 years, 20. All of a sudden, I can tell you this from matter of fact. I have a picture that was taken by the Eagle and the day we started the program.
Mm-hmm.
We in January.
Yeah, we opened the studio first.
Yeah, we opened the studio the first time. That's what, 6 years ago now?
Yeah.
I mean, 6 years is lickety-split.
Right.
This AI could even increase that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Decrease the time, but increase the speed.
Yeah, I saw a little of that presentation, too, and I was very impressed.
I was taken back.
Part of the superintendent's push to do a strategic planning for the district, which makes a lot of sense because, again, sort of what we were just talking about.
Yeah.
You can't just stay in one place. Things are changing around you, and you got to adjust to that. And I'm sure I can't even imagine what it's like to be a teacher right now.
No.
I'd love, maybe you should have a couple teachers on to talk to them.
Well, I had Mr. Choquette.
You did, yeah. And just the challenges that they face, not only from, you know, society and what's going on, but then also, you know, something new like AI that comes out of left field.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like we didn't know it was coming, but suddenly it hits and it hits really hard and it changes everything quickly, very, very quickly. And no doubt it will have some very good benefits, you know, for companies, for broadcasters, for students, for a lot of people. And then there will be challenges, right? And I think that knowing that, in the future, that as the strategic planner talked about there, you can't just say that you'll teach everything the way you used to because AI is and has already changed some of that.
That's
so what do you need to do? You need to teach the thinking skills, the way you know that you're going to solve problems in the future. And I think that made a lot of sense to me when he said that you're not just doing the rote work, the reading, writing, and arithmetic, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The old things that everybody thinks works but doesn't necessarily work anymore.
Yeah, going back just quickly with that, you brought back St. Charles Grammar School, Sister Maria John, teaching in third grade the timetables with a pointer tapping it. You know, 2 times 2 is 4.
Well, and you know what, though? Strangely enough, I think a lot of people, you know, recall that third grade and those times tables are still up there, right?
Yeah,
why
they
is
are.
That? Because that method of instruction did work.
That's right.
At that moment. So, you know, some of that stuff probably is still correct.
And
I can't even imagine the people that are teachers that know this stuff down and are continually doing professional development around it and knowing what the new best practices are. Definitely take my hat off to them. I think of all the great teachers that I had.
Oh, me too.
That made a difference. And, you know, one of them is my third grade teacher who taught me that stuff.
isn't it amazing, though, that I can see it like it's right here now for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember where I parked the car. So, but the Sean, I thank you. We're got about 3 minutes left. Thanks for coming on. You got a long day ahead of you. I've got to go to a funeral mass. But I would say this, that what WTBR and PCTV are accomplishing on a daily basis is amazing. I mean, like you said, the programs that are being put out, both on PCTV and TBR. And the only thing I would ask is when I go to the studio, that Dave Cachet doesn't make me continue to wear mittens so I don't touch any of the buttons. people come in, I'm an old man. I'm wearing mittens in a building. But seriously, what a team.
Mm-hmm.
You built a team. You inherited a good team.
I did, yep.
And you're adding to it a great team. And, folks, if you can help out, it's Federico Drive.
Yep. You can always visit us on the web at pittsfieldtv.org.
Yeah.
You can call us at 445-4234. That's a good way to get in and just, talk to any. You can walk into the studio if you want, and we'll show you around. Making an appointment is always good because then we can give you the full tour and give you the time that's needed to do that. But, no, it's a place that's welcoming for everyone, and we always have been. We're a place that is by and for the community, and that's what we'll continue to be.
Yeah, and I would tell you if you're interested in doing a radio program or a TV program, call over there. But first of all, write it out because then you'll have answers. See this? These are all the questions. See, he's got all the answers. We didn't share. But seriously, there's so much that you can add. The Polka Hour has been on since I was a kid. In the summer, you could walk down Wakona Street and everybody would have their windows open. You didn't miss a beat of the Polish American Hour. And again, Kevin Kale and so many of the other wonderful programs. Dave Cachet does a great program. I just lost it in my head.
Yeah, Random Draw.
Thank you.
Where he goes into the 20,000 vinyl album archive from WTBR.
That he archived.
And pulls out some random stuff. And believe me, it's an interesting show for an hour. You got to listen to it. Saturday mornings at 9.
It is. I listened to it last Saturday morning, actually. The other piece is this. This is kind of me in the I'm really kind of upset about, discouraged more, about all the miserable hatred and all that in the world. Like I said, I'm an old man, and my thing right now is to make people laugh, have them have a better day, to lift their burdens. And I think if you would do that, it'll make you feel better, and it will help us as a nation come together in this world. And all I can say to all of you is, God bless, have a great day, and lift somebody's burden. Thank you, and thanks for listening.